Borrowing from our first and second reading today, which focus on wisdom, I think it's important to make a distinction between knowledge and wisdom. We could define those terms in all sorts of ways, but I think we all intuit the difference between a person who knows a bunch of stuff and a person who's wise. I bet you know people in your life that have incredible book smarts, for example, know a ton of information, but you wouldn't ask them to do things, maybe ask them for relationship advice for your life, right? Or vice versa. And there's kind of a lower level of wisdom that's like earthly wisdom, like how to get by in the world. And we sort of make fun of people that have book smarts in this area. I have to tell a little story because I was kind of a book smart person and I've had to acquire certain worldly wisdom in other areas. And so I was on my internship as a seminarian and the priest grew a huge garden out back. And I grew up in Marblehead. You know, we didn't have agriculture in Marblehead. And so he was cooking a very fancy dinner and he said, "Jeremy, I need you to go out and get some red beet leaves for a garnish for one of the plates." And I said, "Oh, you know, no problem." So in my mind, I thought, you know, I'll look for the red beets. And then he said, "You know, they're next to the carrots." I thought, "Well, that's easy. I'll look for the orange things, you know." And so I wander out there, and the garden was in the back, so there were windows across the whole back of the house. And I go out there, and I'm looking for carrots, and I'm looking for red beets, and I'm, as you probably can imagine, not finding them because they're underground, which I didn't know. And so I'm not seeing any of the signs I needed, and so I'm looking around, and I see the tomatoes aren't it, you know, all these things. And I just know that they're inside looking out at the windows and just laughing hysterically. And so finally, my ego was getting the best of me, and I was like, "I'm going to figure out where these red beet leaves are." But eventually I had to say, you know, I've just got to humble myself and go in there and say, "I have no idea what you're talking about," which is what I eventually did. And I came to learn that red beets and carrots grow below the ground, which is very useful information in life. So I lacked some earthly wisdom, you might call common sense, but there's sort of a higher wisdom, which is very different than knowledge as well. And that's the wisdom that looks at the big questions of life. That's the wisdom of someone who has lived life and thought deeply about it, who hasn't looked for just a bunch of information and data, but who has tried to seek to put all of that together into a coherent whole. The wise person, the wise people I know are just incredibly perceptive about the deep questions of life. And that's different than knowing just a bunch of facts. Wisdom in that sense also is sort of ethically geared. It's like, how do I live? How do I live the best life? How do I put the emphasis in my life on the right things and give priority to the right things? Those are the questions of wisdom and not just the questions of knowledge. So I thought about this distinction, which I think comes out in our readings for a couple reasons this weekend. The first is the return of our students here in just the next few days. And the goal, I'm very much, Cardinal Newman, who is sort of the patron of Catholic college ministries, he wrote this incredible work, The Idea of a University. And one of the things he stresses it is that higher education has to be about primarily wisdom and not just knowledge. That the pursuit of wisdom, right, is the highest goal of a college education, not just a bunch of facts. Not just a bunch of information, and that's needed, of course, right? We've got to know and acquire knowledge in the areas that we're going to work in and have a career in. But Newman says that the main purpose of a university is to help instill in its students wisdom to contemplate the big meaning of life. And so I would just call all of us, as our students are about to return, to pray for that experience for our students, that they would see their college years not just about their career and acquiring the necessary information and data that they need for that, but also to grow in wisdom, and the wisdom that looks at how to live a flourishing and good and noble life as well. And that's really hard in the technology age, because we have at our fingertips on our cell phones more information than the biggest library in the world had in 1950. We have that much information at our fingertips. And so it's so easy to get caught up in access to information and not as concerned with, are we becoming wiser? Because it's a good question to ponder as a society. As we have acquired more knowledge, are we a wiser people? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'll let you discern that answer. As we acquire more information and knowledge, are we a wiser people? And so let's pray for our students that their 4 years here would be a time of wisdom and not just the acquisition of knowledge, that they would learn to think deeply about the things of life, that they would learn to have the wisdom to know that relationships are more important than money, that they would have the wisdom to know that happiness is not the same thing as pleasure, that they would have the wisdom to know that just because you disagree with someone on something really important doesn't mean they have to be a personal enemy. Those are the things of wisdom that should be part and parcel of a college education. And so we pray for our students, not just for the acquisition of knowledge, but for the acquisition of a deep, abiding wisdom. The second reason I thought of this distinction is because this can be very true religiously. Somebody can know about Jesus and about God and not know Jesus and God. Someone can be a fan of God and Jesus and have studied theology and know all sorts of things and not intimately know Jesus and live a life that is in accord with being his disciple. Sadly, I have to bring up the news of the resurfacing of the clergy abuse scandal that has been so prominent these last few weeks. And I was thinking of that in this context, the horrors that have been discovered with Cardinal McCarrick and with the Pennsylvania grand jury report just are hard for me to discuss. And so I'm kind of speechless in light of them. All I can say is that it reveals that people, priests and bishops, can study theology. They can study about Jesus and not know him. Because no one who knows Jesus, right, abuses children. No one who knows Jesus covers injustices and the horrors of the injustices that have been revealed. And so we can study all about Jesus we want, but if we're not living a life that flows from that, we're just fakes and frauds. And that's what this thing has revealed about so many members, sadly, of the rank that I take. And I just want to say on behalf of the priesthood and the institutional church, I can only say I'm sorry. There's not much I can do other than continue to work for the transparency and the honesty that I think the church has made progress in, and the report actually showed that there have been very few allegations since the adoption of the Dallas Charter in 2002, but we have to continue to work for that kind of transparency and honesty in the church. And so I apologize on behalf of the church for all of that. But it definitely reveals that you can know about someone, you can know about God and study God, but it doesn't mean you know God. And it doesn't mean you're in a relationship with God, because your life would reflect that. And so, friends, I think there is a distinction between wisdom and knowledge. We all have access to a ton of information. If you're ever at a dinner party now and someone doesn't know something, right, we all bring out our phones and we just look it up on Wikipedia and it's all fine, right? We have tons of access to information. I don't know if we're happier or more wise because of it or not, right? That's a question to ponder in our own hearts, but certainly in the religious realm and in our secular realms, let's seek not just to know about stuff and to know about things and to know about Jesus. Let's seek to know things deeply, and especially to know Jesus, who in the gospel reveals that he comes to us as his very body and blood to know us intimately in this Eucharist. Let's not just study about God. Let's know God who reveals himself in our gathering here today.